everyone. Welcome back to Women Making History. Today, we will be talking about Queen Isabel, or Isabella, the First of Castile. She was another woman far ahead of her time and a force to have been reckoned with. Queen Isabella went from being a mere pawn in the political arena through marriage, as most princesses were at the time, into one of the most powerful players in her own right. Now, I will tell you her story. Isabella of Castile was born on April 22, 1451, in Madrigal de las Altas Torres. She was the daughter of King John II of Castile and his second wife, Isabella of Portugal. John only had one son from his first marriage, Henry, who was 26 years old at the time of Isabella's birth. Isabella also had a younger brother, Alfonso. The Castilian court was rife with rumors that Henry was impotent, as he had been married for 7 years with no children, and then that marriage had been annulled because it had not been consummated. This prompted John to marry again and have more children to secure the line of succession. 3 years after Isabella was born, her father died, and her half-brother became King Henry IV of Castile. Henry resented Isabella as his heir. Because of this resentment, he kept his half-siblings under guard, in isolation and virtual exile, with their mother at Arevalo. Henry kept them under guard at the castle out of fear that they would be used against him by rebels. They spent those years at Arevalo quietly, but Isabella's childhood wasn't a happy one. Her mother was not mentally stable. Isabella's mother is said to have suffered from severe postpartum depression after Isabella's birth and never recovered. Her mother began to suffer from delusions as well. She would speak to people who were not there and would fail to recognize her own children. During this time, Isabella took comfort in religion. She became very pious, and this would stay with her for the rest of her life. At the age of 5, Isabella was betrothed to Ferdinand of Aragon. This was a political betrothal, but Isabella began to dream of her husband coming to rescue her from the misery that was her life. Even though rumors and even evidence supports the claims that Henry was impotent, his wife finally became pregnant. Even so, everyone believed that the child the queen was expecting was fathered by Beltran de la Cueva, a handsome court nobleman and a favorite of the royal family. That child was a daughter named Joanna, but it is rumored that the entire court called her La Beltraneja, which means Little Beltran. Henry finally felt secure having his own heir, so he brought his half-siblings to court. Having them at court also made it easier to keep more of an eye on them and to control them more. Isabella was 13 years old when she was brought to court. Despite having been sequestered at Arevalo for years, Isabella had nevertheless been drawn into Castilian politics. She became part of the queen's household upon her arrival to court. This must have been quite the shock for the religious and conservative Isabella, as Queen Joan was a very controversial figure in Castile at the time. She was regarded as scandalous in the fairly conservative court because of her low-cut dresses and because she was suspected of taking multiple lovers. Isabella handled it with grace, however. Henry was not popular among the nobles. The authority of the crown had been severely tarnished by a succession of weak kings, and in their eyes, Henry was no different. Nobles were also upset with the favors Henry granted to Beltran de la Cueva, so much so that they were soon conspiring against the throne. To keep Isabella from all of the discord going on through the kingdom, he kept her confined to the capital of Madrid. Isabella was much more intelligent than he gave her credit, though, and she already knew what was going on. Isabella knew that her main value to her brother was as a marriage pawn. Henry secretly betrothed her to Ferdinand's older half-brother, Charles, thereby voiding her betrothal with Ferdinand. This caused a lot of turmoil in Aragon, as Charles was seeking to overthrow his father, on top of there already being a lot of ill will towards Henry himself. Charles, however, died in 1461 before the marriage could take place, leaving Ferdinand as the heir to Aragon. Henry then sought to marry Isabella to his brother-in-law, Afonso of Portugal, but that eventually fell through as well. At this point, there was open rebellion against Henry. In 1464, the nobles leading the rebellion gave Henry an ultimatum. Either he reforms the court or they would depose him. Henry wound up negotiating with them that he would make Alfonso, Isabella's younger brother and Henry's younger half-brother, heir instead of his daughter Joanna, and the nobles agreed. After this agreement, there were some nobles that declared Alfonso to be the true heir to the throne, and they set up a rival court, calling him Alfonso VII. This caused 3 years of riots and general civil unrest in Castile. Eventually, the unrest broke out into open battle in August of 1467 at the Battle of Olmedo. The battle was a draw, with both sides claiming victory. The rivalry would soon be over, however, as Alfonso fell ill and died suddenly in 1468. Poison was suspected, but was never conclusively proven. He was only 14 years old. Upon Alfonso's death, Isabella became the hope of the rebelling nobles. In his will, Alfonso had also left the crown of Castile to Isabella. The rebelling nobles did approach her to set her up as queen, but she refused them and acknowledged Henry as king instead. She knew that if she accepted the proposal of the rebelling nobles, they would have only treated her as a puppet just like they had Alfonso. The rebels then made a peace treaty with King Henry, known as the Accord of Toros de Guisando in 1468, that named her as Henry's heir. Much to Isabella's disappointment, this agreement also stated that she would be marrying 45-year-old nobleman Pedro Pacheco in exchange for the money he would be donating to take care of Henry's financial problems. Isabella was only 17 years old. Isabella was horrified at the thought of marrying Pacheco. She fervently prayed for a miracle from God to save her from such a fate. Isabella got her much-prayed-for miracle when Pacheco fell ill and died on his way to see her. I can't imagine her praying for someone's death as pious as all reports claim her to have been, but I can't imagine how relieved she must have felt hearing that she wouldn't have to marry a man almost 30 years her senior. After this happened, Isabella and Henry came to an agreement. This agreement stated that Isabella could arrange her own marriage as long as Henry approved. With Isabella on the marriage market once again, Portugal, Aragon, and France each came to her with a marriage proposal, but she refused each of them. Henry then went behind her back and broke his promise when King Afonso of Portugal again proposed marriage. Henry began to arrange a wedding between the King of Portugal and Isabella. Henry made it clear that he still didn't view Isabella as a potential ruler and as his heir. Isabel knew then that she was going to have to take her fate into her own hands. Isabel started secretly communicating with King John II of Aragon. She proposed the betrothal between her and Ferdinand, who was now heir to the throne, be renewed. King John agreed, and they started the complicated process of negotiations. Isabel's main objective during these negotiations was to maintain her independence. The agreement that was finally reached was that the two of them would not be co-monarchs, but instead they would each inherit their respective crowns. Ferdinand would inherit the crown of Aragon, and Isabel would inherit the crown of Castile. Their kingdoms would remain two separate kingdoms ruled by each of them. With that settled, they would now need to obtain a papal dispensation for their marriage, as they were second cousins. Back then, and even into the early 20th century, it was very normal to marry cousins as royalty. Getting a papal dispensation secretly would have been hard to accomplish, but luckily for them, a prominent cardinal in Rome, Rodrigo Borgia, who would later become the infamous as Pope, was Aragonese. This made what would have been near impossible to get done in secret relatively easy. Cardinal Borgia produced a papal bull supposedly dating back to their original betrothal and was even signed by the previous pope. With that in hand, Isabel escaped the capital under the pretext of visiting her mother in Arevalo, although there were other reports that had her using the excuse of visiting her brother's tomb in Avila to pray over him. Either way, she made her way out of the capital to the city of Valladolid, which Isabel would later make her capital. Ferdinand had already traveled there in disguise and was waiting for her. On October 19, 1469, Isabel of Castile married Ferdinand of Aragon without Henry's knowledge or consent. I wonder what Isabel was thinking and what she was feeling as she married the man that she had dreamed would rescue her from her misery as a child. Isabella's marriage to Ferdinand and the prospect of an Aragonese consort led to the development of an anti-Aragonese party that put forward the claims of the rival heiress, Henry's daughter Joanna, who, as I mentioned before, was believed to have been fathered by Beltran de la Cueva. Henry encouraged this group by going back on the Accord of 1468, saying that Isabel had shown disobedience by marrying Ferdinand without royal consent. Henry also rejected Isabel's claim to the throne and instead pushed his daughter's claims forward. Henry's nobles, however, were much more supportive of Isabel as queen. This made Henry's action of naming his daughter Joanna as heir a mere token gesture. At this point, Henry's health was starting to fail him. Isabel was aware of his declining health and knew it was so important for her to be prepared and ready to take action should she need to. Isabel was in Segovia, which was secured for her claim, when King Henry IV of Castile died on December 11, 1474. 2 days later, on December 13, 1474, at the age of 23, Isabel was crowned King Isabel I of Castile. Well, that's all for today. Join me next week for part two. So far, she has proved to be a very intelligent, savvy, independent young woman. She grabbed the bull by the horns in proposing, planning, and marrying a man of her choosing, which was virtually unheard of in her time, especially for royals. She was already making history at a very young age, and we still have the rest of her life to talk about. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss any new episodes, and remember, go out and make a difference. Bye!